Welcome to Families for Life with Brian and Brian, a podcast of Oak Hill Baptist Church.
On today's episode, we're talking about relationships and social media.
All right, well, we're back. Brian, how's it going, man?
It's good, man. By the time people listen to this, we will have had our first night of Vacation Bible School.
Yes.
Under our belts. We moved to the Vacation Bible School back from July to September to hopefully get it in. And there was a time that we were questioning if we were able to get it in.
Yeah.
But as we sit here,
Seems like we're going to be able to.
On the cusp of VBS, I think we'll be able to have it.
Yep.
We got a lot of kids coming out, and I'm excited to see what God's going to do during that. So We may sound fresh right now. Next week, we may not sound as fresh.
Right, that's right.
We'll see what happens.
Although we did just start back our fall.
All of our fall programming is back in, Awana's and youth group. And
yesterday, so.
That's right.
So yeah, we're kind of fresh. So, yeah.
But God's good. I would rather be doing all that we're doing than not doing anything. And
We had a great night last
This is
night.
Much better than we were quarantining.
Yes.
I never want to do that again.
Yep. I was talking to the students a little bit about that, and I was like, man, you guys want to go back to the Zoom stuff? And they were like, no, please, no. So I'm glad we're able to do this.
Yeah, me too. Well, today we're going to be getting into talking about relationships and social media. So, you know, the last couple of weeks have really been a lot of introductory stuff, and it was important to cover. This is going to get more into the practical things, and really this is a big one. It's
right.
You know, we are talking about families, we're talking about kids and teenagers, but we're also talking about parents. A lot of the stuff is impacting parents in a big way, and the kids are learning these bad habits and improper ways to deal with the internet and the digital world because the parents are not doing it very well.
Yeah, that's right. And a lot of parents are coming into this, you know, growing up, like we've talked about, growing up without internet. And then just as you get older, you end up having internet. So you're not even thinking about how to, like, what you need to safeguard from and how to do it. Some, you know, younger parents are thinking more about this because they did grow up with cell phones and stuff. And I think we'll see more people thinking about it.
Right.
But we really need to be thinking about it from a spiritual standpoint as well.
Right. And that's a good segue into what we're talking about. You know, we're using this resource, the Digital Invasion, and they made a really good point that we are created for connection. And I believe that. I believe that God has created us as social people that crave connection and intimacy.
Right.
You agree with that?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's why the Bible says that, you know, the number two laws, the two most important laws of the Bible are to love God and love your neighbor.
Right.
I mean, that's relationship right there.
Relational, yeah.
So we are absolutely created for relationships. And then the science just bears that out. It just proves what we already know from God's word.
We need those connections with other people. And social media can help, but it can also hurt. There's many ways in which social media has hurt in the realm of relationships.
Yeah, there's a lot of, and that's one of the things that this chapter that we were looking at talks about, and we're just going to go through some of these kind of problems that come from the way that social media connects us to other people.
Yeah, I think we know the good things. We know we can talk to people halfway around the world. We can interact with grandparents that live far away. We don't lose connection with friends. We have instant access to people, you know, I mean, those are some really positive things.
Absolutely.
We have access to information, and we've covered that.
Right.
But now we also see a lot of issues and problems. I mean, the first thing being that we have a narcissism epidemic.
Yeah.
Narcissism meaning that people are completely self-focused.
Right. You're thinking about you and what people think about you. And yeah, it's all about yourself.
How does this play out on social media?
Well, the first thing we just have to note is that people love being on social media. It's just kind of obvious. We know this is a problem just by looking at it. Everybody has their own profile about who I am, and you spend forever trying to make that the perfect profile. But then when you look at the number of people on social media, it's pretty staggering. We looked up the current stats on this, and starting from the lowest number on social media, the social media with the lowest number of people every month is Twitter, with a whopping 330 million monthly users.
Wow.
That's like crazy. The population of the United States.
Right, right.
So everybody in the United States on Twitter.
Right.
Like men, women, and children, yeah. You know? That's crazy. But there's even more.
Right. They become global, and you have 800 million people on TikTok.
Yeah.
More than the population.
TikTok's like brand new.
Over double.
Yeah.
The population of the U.S.
Yeah.
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 A billion crazy. People. On Instagram. A billion.
One, yeah.
Billion with a B.
Yes.
That's all. That is unreal.
Yeah. It's so many people. 1.8 billion people on YouTube.
Yeah.
Every month.
Listen, and parents don't know this, but YouTube is one of the most popular social media. And we don't think about it as a traditional social media, but in the sense of you being able to put content out, people respond and follow you, and you know, it's kind of a hybrid of social media and television and digital content. It all kind of slams together in YouTube.
Yep.
And it is, with kids especially, it is the most popular app.
I think kids actually binge YouTube more than they do Netflix.
Yes, I agree 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny because I'll say, oh, you kids want to watch a show. Do you want to watch, to my son, you want to watch Paw Patrol or something like that? No, I want to watch YouTube.
Yep.
I'm like, what?
Yep. I'm even doing that with my kid. We're, one of our things, we sit down and watch Dude Perfect on YouTube.
Right.
You know, we just watch several videos and they're, 7-8 minute long videos.
It's crazy.
And it's a thing, you know?
These kids today will not watch shows or, cable is going to be gone here before too long. It's just this is where kids are
at right now.
This is
where it's at. Yeah. So, and then
the big one is 2.7 billion people on Facebook. That is almost, that's what would that be, like 30% of the world's population?
Well, the world's population was 7 billion people.
Something like that.
So you're almost at 3.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, and I've heard that in some countries that Facebook is essentially the internet for some countries because they just don't have the infrastructure and the thing. So like if you have a business, you put it on Facebook. That's where people go to find you.
That's right.
And especially like a third world country, they have Facebook.
Yep. And a lot of businesses, even in America, if you're a smaller business, like you just need to have a good Facebook presence in order to have your internet presence.
Right.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
So this is the way it is. And part of that's because people love telling other people about their lives.
Right. Everybody's on. So, you can get on, you can share. You can create who you want to be. You can connect with people. If, one of the cool things is if you have an affinity, like you like role playing games, like Dungeons and Dragons or something, and there's no one around you that plays that, you can find people that are interested in the same thing that you're interested in somewhere else.
There's actually a group that that me and my wife are a part of called Love Thy Nerd.
Yeah.
And it's a bunch of it's primarily Christian. It's not only Christians. It's more for just people who are more nerdy, but there's a lot of Christians on there. And it's a really cool place to just kind of geek out a little bit, And it's a way to connect with people that don't live close to you and just share the same kind of ideas. But one of the problems is you can make up whoever you want to be.
Right.
So it can actually get really really kind of dark really fast. You just basically tell people who you want to be instead of who you actually are.
Well, and for teenagers, they start to crave the attention and the approval of other people.
Yeah.
More so than saying, who am I? Discovering what I like, what I'm interested in, who I am. They say, what do people want me to be?
Yes.
And so how do they want me to become? And I'll just be that.
And you can even see that. I if you know a teenager from when they're kind of younger to when they're older, as you watch them grow up, you can see their social media kind of change over time from them posting what they like to posting what is similar to their friends' posts.
Yep.
It's basically just whatever other people are doing, I'm going to kind of do that so that people like what I do.
Well, and it's even seen in how people it's as simple as how people take pictures. It's funny because it's like, let's get a selfie. And teenagers immediately throw their hands up. They stick their tongue out. They do all of these things they've seen other people do instead of just being themselves, they're like, yep. You know, I'm sticking my tongue out right now and holding right. my fingers up. Like,
yep.
I'm
he cool. actually is doing that. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, they do. Yeah. They do whatever is the cool new thing to do on camera is what you got to do.
Right.
And, you know, and it's because we're really craving other people's approval right. of us.
That's right.
It's narcissism.
Yeah. Well, another dangerous thing is we start to compare ourselves.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, so many comparisons. And listen, I'll be honest. This happens even as adults.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I have many, many pastor friends out there. And, you know, you compare, you see, oh, they're on a nice vacation or they have a nice car or whatever. And you begin to compare your life to them. You compare what they have. And that's dangerous yeah. because that breeds discontentment. That breeds, unfaithfulness in the Lord, you know, for us in the Lord through all of those things.
Exactly. It's a huge temptation to covet what other people have.
Yeah.
And to feel like your life is just absolutely pointless. Honestly. It's like, you know, the authors of the book that we're going through said it used to be all you had to do is compete with the Joneses across the street.
Right.
And now there's millions of Joneses right in your fingertips. And so you're competing with millions of people all the time.
Right.
If that's kind of how you're dealing with it. And it's such right. an easy temptation.
Well, and it's not even a realistic portrayal of people's lives because, exactly. you know, you only post the good things, you know, I take that back. Some people post everything.
Right. Yeah, that is true.
Most people post the good things. They don't post the messy bits, you know? Right.
It's whatever we think will get more attention for
right.
us.
That's right. That's true. It is all about attention.
Yeah.
But, you know, if we look at someone's life and we see their life, you see all of the good things they're posting about. Well, that's not their life.
Right.
That's one small part of their life.
Yeah.
That's not what reality really looks like because they embellish their reality.
Exactly. Yeah. I was thinking about this and the saying is, you know, the grass is always greener on the other side. And I was thinking, like, with social media, it's worse because the grass is always greener on the other side because people are spray painting the grass green.
Right, that's true.
I mean, you make it look even better than it would naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just is so easy to look at all but these people you don't even know. And I think, just think, oh man, I need that.
Yeah, and I think you're right. Whatever gets people attention, you know, that's mm-hmm. the thing. It goes back to that narcissism. It's mm-hmm. it's me. It's what can I, you know, and I've had to fight against this in my own life because, you know, in the past I post something, I immediately am thinking, you know, oh, yeah. did anyone like this? Did yep. anyone comment on this?
Right.
You know, and that's our go-to thing. And if that's your go-to, it's like I post this picture or I make this status update. And I want to see how many people share or retweet or like or comment or right. whatever, then there might be a problem there for you. Well,
and that goes back to what we had said with, you know, students especially are doing this, but I know adults are doing it too, where if you post something or a picture and nobody likes it or you don't get as many likes as you want, you delete it. Because, and that to me just, again, it goes back to the narcissism thing, but also what we're doing is we're saying, I need to make the content that people want instead of being myself.
Right.
And if it's not, if the people don't want it, they don't like it, then I'm going to change me.
Right.
To make them like it.
Right.
That's just, you know, it's just accentuated. This is normal life, but it's accentuated by social media.
That's right.
And it leads us into depression, really.
Yeah, there has been a rise in depression and really depression-related things, you know, anxiety, you know, all kinds of things. And I really feel like there's a correlation with social media.
Yeah.
You know, all of these comparisons going on, it's easy for our successes to feel really small. It's easy to think, you know...
Yeah, that what we've done doesn't really amount to much.
Right.
Because we're seeing other people's successes.
And then we don't see their failures. Exactly. And so our failures seem bigger.
Right.
You know, oh, I'm not so-and-so. I, you know, it seems like, you know, people talk about overnight successes and you see people on social media like a YouTuber or a gamer or something, you know, that's really successful. Well, you don't know how hard it took for them to get yeah, there. To you get know, there. It's like they're a 5-year overnight success, you
right.
know?
Right. Well, and that's one of the things I've been talking about, Dude Perfect with Brian a lot. Cause I've just been watching it with Sam. There are a bunch of believers that are super famous on YouTube. And
you're really, so nerdy with it. You watched the documentary on the making of Dude Perfect.
And I was going to say that because it honestly really brings out how much hard work they put into it. And it really made me appreciate their videos so much more because it wasn't just some dudes having fun. Like, no, they're working like crazy to put out good family, not oriented, but like you can watch their content with your family.
Right.
And they talked about that in their documentary, how that's super important to them.
Right.
That's the kind of content I'm looking for, but that's kind of neither here nor there. But the point is it takes a lot of time and you don't always see the time that gets put into some of these success stories.
Right. Well, it's interesting. Kids nowadays, they're like, what do you want to be in a group? I want to be a YouTuber, you know, or
they really teenagers. Do.
I want to be an influencer. I want to be an Instagram model, you know, whatever. Yep. And it's like, what? Yep. That was never a job.
I know.
Growing up, like, but people
it's
can.
A thing. You, well, we've got it.
You
shout
can
out.
Make. You can make money doing this.
Uh-huh.
Most kids won't.
Right.
But some do.
Yeah. We got it. I'm going to do a shout out to Assassin Blaster. He's one of our students in the youth group, and he's near 1,000 followers on YouTube. So if you want to go follow him,
he's a gamer. Follow Assassin Blaster.
Yep. Assassin Blaster on YouTube. Big deal.
Middle something about guy. Getting to 1,000 subs means something. I don't know.
It's
I don't know what it means.
I think you can get monetized there. But but the thing is that's rare. Like we have one student who does that.
Do we get a kickback from that?
Yes. Yes. Now that I sponsor you hearing that, Wyatt, he's not even listening to this.
So let's get back in and talk about depression here.
Yes. Yes.
And, you know, I really feel like, you know, it can really affect your life and you feel less important. The things of your life seem less. It's like I have to have these experiences, not so I can just experience them, but so other people can see how great my life is.
Right.
And it's kind of just this weird thing that backfires because if what we perceive is not, we're not getting the effect or the results or whatever, it's like, well, am I even worth anything?
Right.
Where's my self-worth tied up in? It's tied up in likes and comments and views.
Well, and that's because, and this is where it gets spiritual, because we were designed for relationships with God so that we could glorify God. Our goal in life, our whole point in life is to shine the glory of God.
Well, and finding our worth in Him, that's a big thing.
Right. So what we're doing when we're getting these likes and getting all this content focused on us, we're really just glorifying ourselves.
Right.
And when we're glorifying ourselves, we are automatically doing opposite of what we were designed to do. You will necessarily be depressed and you will not have joy in your life if you're not doing what you're designed to do. And so if we're glorifying ourselves all the time and not glorifying God and finding our worth in God, we're going to be depressed.
Right.
So, and this social media is designed to be about you, like YouTube, Facebook. I mean, all of these things are about you. And we have to figure out how to make these things about God.
But once again, they don't bring happiness or satisfaction in and of themselves because they can't provide that.
They can't.
Only God can. In finding our worth in God and seeking to glorify Him will provide us with ultimate satisfaction.
Yeah,
you know, I think about the digital. I think about this a lot, where the latest phone will come out, iPhone or Android or whatever. I gotta have this phone. It's the thing of it's revolutionary. It's awesome. You go buy it. 6 months later, you're like, man, this phone's terrible. I gotta get the new phone.
Yep.
It will never satisfy you. If your desire and focus is on the digital world, it will never satisfy.
It won't.
You have to take it, put it on Christ, find your worth and satisfaction in the Lord.
Right.
Then you can use the digital world as a tool to glorify God.
That's right. And that's the only way that we can really end up having joy through social media is if we're using it for the thing that we were designed to do.
Right.
And so, I mean, you'll have, you know, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 followers. That's not going to satisfy you because there's people out there with millions of followers, you know?
Well, that's the first thing. When we talk about combating this depression, the first thing is to find your value in Christ.
That's right.
Not in your lifestyle, not in social media. That's the first thing.
I agree.
You've also got to evaluate Who are you following? And you may need to unfollow some people. If yes. there's sources of frustration or stress
or temptation,
you need to clean that up. You need yep. to make, you know.
Dude, I've been on unfollowing spree for a while, honestly. Right. Just like, oh man, this is actually not good content. Or, you know, hey, I don't even know who this person is. Right. You know, just like, I'm sorry, but I don't need to have that going into my brain all the time.
Yep. And just like we talked about last week, set limits, turn off your notifications, set time right. where you're away from your phone. You know, go somewhere, go on a hike. Don't take your phone or leave right. it in the car. Yeah. Don't take a picture.
At least don't post about it. Hey, that's a good point. Enjoy the moment. Cause that's the thing. It's not about other people approving what you're doing. It's about what you're doing right. and enjoying God in that time.
Right. I thought it was really interesting in the book that we talked about. They talked about a woman who thought she was addicted to social media and yeah. she went on a vacation and locked her phone in the hotel safe.
Yeah.
For five,
her phones, multiple phones
for 5 days. And it took to about day three or four, almost to the end of the yeah. vacation for her to stop craving
right.
that, oh, that, man. That attention.
Well, we'll get to a little bit about addiction.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll get to that in a minute. Well, let's talk about the next thing we want to mention is about loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we mentioned this before, but I really think this is important because as connected as we are in social media, it really can breed loneliness. You think you are connected, but really you lack the intimacy because, you know, there's something about, you know, you and I are friends. At least I would like to think that we're friends.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, that means that we know things about each other's lives. We right. spend time together. We don't always agree on things.
Right.
Sometimes we get mad at each other.
Yep. The students who have been with us on mission trips know that.
Right. Right. But that's friendship.
Right. And they see us make up and, like, you know, right. Forgive each other, all that stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
But that doesn't always happen that way because, like, you know, in social media, it's like if you get mad at somebody, well, delete.
Yeah, exactly.
Unfollow.
Yeah.
There's nothing resolved there. It's not a real friendship.
Right.
You know, somebody said they're not really my Facebook friends. They're my Facebook contacts.
Yep.
You know, let's be realistic.
I think that's a good way to think about it. But yeah. you're right. I mean, one of the things that I thought was interesting about this loneliness thing is that they were saying that emotions can actually be relayed. Like, basically, there's a statistical correlation between if you feel lonely and I'm interacting with you on social media, there's like a 50-something% chance that I'm going to start feeling lonely.
Oh, wow.
And then it kind of decreases the more disconnected we are. So if, like, you have a friend who feels lonely, I am interacting with only you, but there's still like a 30-something% chance wow. that I will start feeling lonely. And so, like, because we're so interconnected through this social media web, it actually can kind of funnel some of these emotions. It goes the opposite way too with good emotions, depression though. I mean, all of that can just be connected to one another. And because we aren't actually having close relationships through this, like sit down talks about our lives, we're not able to work through those emotions.
Right.
And so we just feel it right. and have no resolve.
Right.
It's terrible.
Well, and some people will sit there and they will vlog the whole day.
Yeah.
While they're getting ready. One person I saw did a vlog of them studying. You could sit there and watch them study.
Sorry, I can't do that.
Why would you do that?
Yeah.
You know, and some people will sit there and eat food on yeah. YouTube. I think that's yep. so weird. But
people watch that.
People
stuff.
Watch it. That's mm-hmm. a thing.
And I unboxing,
think
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Unboxing. I think it's to feel that connection
yep.
with something or right. somebody because they're lonely.
Right.
And, you know, social media can be a good placeholder, but it can never be a permanent replacement for real relationships in our lives.
Yeah.
It just can't.
It can't. And so the thing that we need to deal with, though, is if we are feeling lonely, and I know there are people out there listening to this right now who are feeling lonely. And so know that this is serious. And there's some suggestions that the source gives us. And they say, first things first, be honest about your feelings.
Right.
Own the fact that you're lonely. Don't lie about it. Don't mm-hmm. deceive yourself into thinking, oh, I have this many friends on Facebook, so I'm not lonely. No, be honest about it. And then the next thing is take responsibility for
yes.
it. And this is hard. And I'm talking as somebody who's been told this by my youth pastor years ago. Really, like, I needed to take responsibility for my loneliness.
Yeah, don't just complain and say, nobody will talk to me, no one likes right. me. You have to put yourself out there.
You do.
You know?
You really have to. And sometimes it doesn't
approach work. Approach people and talk to people. And, right. You know, hey, let's go get some coffee sometime, mm-hmm. you know?
But one of the things that I thought was interesting, they said, put yourself out there. Sometimes people don't connect with you when you put yourself out there. Mm. And so they said, well, the next thing to do is they said, find your passion. I don't like that phrase, but I know what they mean. It's really just get out there and go actually do what you love to do.
Right.
I say that I love to mountain bike, but I haven't been mountain biking in a while. But I know people in our church who love to mountain bike. Right. I could easily connect with them through that.
Right.
So I'm going to get out there and do it. You know what I mean? And so find those pathways to those people.
Yep. It takes time. Yep. It really does take time. Yeah. Yeah. Show consistency. You know, that's the thing. You've got to stay at it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then finally, you yourself be a friend. You know, people want to be friends and want to hang out with a good friend.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. There's a lot of times people who, and I'm trying to be really sensitive here because I know what it's like. I've been there. Mm-hmm. And so, but when you are feeling super lonely and you feel like nobody cares about you, really try to take inventory on how much you are reaching out and caring about other people.
Well, it's a really bad cycle because you internalize everything.
Yeah.
And then it just feeds more of that, really, you know. But if you would just say, how can I be a friend to this person? Mm-hmm. You know, you would begin to see that things could kind of change. Take the focus off yourself and put it on other people.
That's exactly right. Yeah. It's a big deal. But so there's another huge aspect to social media that I think really just kind of is a part of all of this, and that's addiction. Mm. I thought this was super interesting that the studies show that Facebook and Twitter are more addictive than alcohol and tobacco, and that they are actually harder to quit than alcohol and smoking.
That's crazy.
It's harder for you to quit social media than it is for you to stop smoking.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've seen this play out firsthand where I was at school. I would go when I was allowed to go to school before COVID.
Yeah.
I would spend one day a week going to the one school over here, Harwood, and mentor kids during lunch. Well, I remember a kid would literally, they had a phone policy at one time where you couldn't have your phone out. And they were like, I need to take your phone. And this kid's like, nope, I'm going home.
Wow.
I'm not giving you my phone.
Yeah.
That was their life. That's their life. That's, I mean, everything.
Everything.
They cannot be without that.
Right.
And so they would rather just miss school, be marked absent that entire day, miss all their schoolwork, everything. Because they couldn't part with their phone for a couple hours, really. Yeah. It's just a couple hours. They'd get their phone back at the end of the day.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's a big deal. We've talked about that a little bit, but we've really got to understand that it's not sinful for you to use social media. We're definitely not saying that. It can be really good. But if you think that it's not potential addiction, if you think that there's no way you could be addicted to this, I mean, that's like you just lighting up cigarettes and thinking, oh, it'll never happen to me.
Right.
That's you're asking for trouble.
Yeah. And parents, it's not just the kids. It's us too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, how many times are you like, where's my phone? I have to have my phone. Mm-hmm. Where's my phone? Okay. It's right there.
Yeah.
All
right. Are you ever find yourself watching TV and also on social media?
Well, it's like a commercial comes on and you're like, oh, check Facebook, you know?
Yep.
You know, that happens all the time. So, I mean, this is just as bad for parents. We've got to, you know, one of the things that I would challenge you to do is as soon as you get home, put your phone down on the counter away from you and your family and engage with your family.
Yeah.
Take some time. Maybe your family's busy. Take some time to yourself to reflect or pray or decompress, you know, whatever.
Really?
Yeah. But don't let social media be your hobby, you know, or be your thing that you do to relax.
Yeah.
Cause it's not relaxing.
Right. We talked about that last week. So, but, I mean, that's the thing. If you're addicted, just get accountability, set limits and remove the temptation.
Right.
You know, get rid of whatever's controlling you.
Yeah.
Cause that's what addiction is. It's really just something that's controlling you.
Yeah. So we don't have to have a Facebook. We don't have to have a Twitter. You can get rid of those things for a while and step back and say, you know, I'm going to take a break from this for a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not smart. It's not good.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of the really negative things for adults, you know, social media has caused a lot of marital problems. I've seen this firsthand as a pastor. You know, the statistics say that 57% of people have used the internet to flirt.
That's half of everyone.
38% of people have engaged in explicit online sexual conversations. And 31% of people have had an online conversation that led to in-person sex. I mean,
that's crazy.
It's crazy. I mean, I've seen this firsthand where someone has rekindled with an old flame and it's caused big problems in their marriage.
Yeah.
And so we've got to protect ourselves from this, men and women, both.
Yeah. Well, the main thing is to know, I say this about most everything, is don't ever think that you are immune to anything.
Yes.
Don't ever think you're immune to anything, because as soon as you start thinking that, you're already being attacked by the enemy.
Yeah, and I actually really appreciate our Pastor Allen about this, because he's talked about this to us some. You know, don't think you're above making a mistake. Yeah. And you always have to be on guard for the temptation that can be there, because Satan would love nothing more than to destroy a Christian,
right,
a pastor, but also a Christian, their family. I mean, everything, because the fallout could be immeasurable.
Oh my goodness. I mean, you think about just grandchildren from and so it's not to say that those people are doomed to a godless life or anything. It's just, it poses lots of problems for lots of people.
Right.
So there's a lot of things to look out for in this. They ask some questions that are just helpful, and I thought enlightening. You know, first is these are questions to help you think through, am I kind of flirting around with this problem here? And the questions are you intentionally looking to see what someone of the opposite sex is posting and whether or not they respond to your comments and posts?
That's good, yeah. It's a good question. Are you excited to see what these people have to say to you, and staying in contact with them during the day? I mean, that's,
You're basically just communicating with somebody all the time. Right. Are you sending private messages so that others can't see what you're posting and reading? As soon as you just kind of start making things a little bit more private online.
Yeah. And are you willing to cut off contact for the sake of your spouse's feelings?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, those are all really good questions. Just kind of give yourself a self-checkup, self-examination. You know, and I think you really, you know, one of the things that helps in this to on the forefront is just let your spouse have access to your accounts, email, social media, things like that. Because, and some people are like, well, you know, it's my personal business, whatever. You know, we know in the Bible that when you're married, two become one. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What's hers is mine. You know, what's hers is mine. What's mine is hers. We're one flesh. That includes who we talk to and how we talk to them.
Right.
And so I think it's really important that we think about being accountable to our spouse.
Right.
Because there shouldn't be anything on my social media, my email, my text messages, anything that my wife can't see.
Yeah, the only secrets we need to have from our spouses is what we're buying them for Christmas.
Yeah.
And even that is like barely a secret, right? So like there's nothing that we should have that we can't share. And I know that's a big statement. I know that's a big statement.
Right.
I'm married. I get it. But that's the goal.
Well, sin, listen, sin is bred in secrecy.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
true.
That's why we talk about godliness lives in the light and sinfulness lives in the darkness.
That's right.
Think about all the times that you fall to temptation. It's when there's no accountability, when you have opportunity, and it leads us into sin and darkness.
Yeah.
But when we expose things and bring them into the light, and I have nothing to hide,
yep,
then that leads to godliness.
It does. And joy. I mean, there's so much joy and freedom in that. And so, you know, but here's the thing. Like, there are probably people who are listening to this who have found themselves really you know, just walking around in dangerous territory on social media, interacting in something. They called it, you know, Facebook affairs, where essentially they're not doing anything like physically per se, but just emotionally having relationships with people that are inappropriate. And they say, here's some steps that you can take if you are just knowing that this has got to end. First, you need to be honest with your spouse. That's hard. But you just gotta fess up and tell your spouse.
Yeah, hey, confess, recognize that there is sin, that there's pain, and you've got to work through that process, give your spouse time and freedom to process that.
Yeah. You got to actually ask for forgiveness. Mm. I think that's big. If we say, "Will you please forgive me?" Mm-hmm. They might not be able to say yes immediately. Eventually, hopefully, they'll be able to say, "Yes, I forgive you."
Right.
But that exchange is so important. I've seen that in my own just relationship of saying, "Will you forgive me?" Yes, I forgive you. Mm-hmm. So powerful.
Yeah, and then invest in your marriage through biblical counseling and healthy practices. You know, there's all kinds of great resources out there. You have, you know, if you go to a church, you go to our church, or hopefully your home church has pastors that will invest in you in this area. I know we will.
Yep.
We have, and that's key. You know, once again, I really think accountability is so important. You know, James says, "Confess your sins to one another, so that you may find healing." Mm, you know,
yeah.
I mean, there's something. I mean, Jesus is the one. God's the one that offers forgiveness.
Right.
But there's something about confessing it to someone else and saying it out loud that brings a freedom and a healing and accountability to your spiritual life.
Yeah, and I don't know exactly how that works, but I know it's biblical, and I know from experience that it's true.
Right.
And so that's the advice that I think we have when it comes to that sort of thing. And I know that that's hard, but good things often are hard.
Yeah.
And so it's good for you.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Definitely.
And so there's some pretty simple takeaways for this though. Anything you want to add to any of this?
No, I think it's really good. We need to put limits on our social media and we need to have accountability.
Yeah.
You know, if this is a big struggle for you, I know some couples just have a joint social media account.
Right.
And that may not be because they've had a problem.
Right.
They just literally don't want there to be any temptation. They're like, "I don't want there to ever be any temptation or any problem. So we're just going to share a," and that's when you see their names smashed together. Yep. You know? Yep. Uh-huh.
And I know several couples that do that. Yeah. And after the end of each post, they just put their initial.
Yeah.
So you know who's actually saying it.
I'm not hating on that because I respect those people for wanting to be free of any temptation or anything.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
And so I think that's really, really good.
Yeah. Another big thing is so you've got your limitations and your accountability for your social media. But on the flip side of that, identify some people, real people that you know that you want to spend actual time with and try to invest in a relationship with them, like 4 to 5 people, and try to invest in your relationships with those people over this coming month or whenever. Right.
We cannot stress this enough. We have talked about this multiple times. We have to have people in our lives that we are investing in and that are investing in
us. That's right.
We are called to make disciples. Part of discipleship is this element of community.
That's exactly right.
And sometimes it's formal, sometimes it's informal.
Yep.
You and me have had a friendship and we've encouraged each other. And I would say we've encouraged each other in discipleship.
Yeah.
Not in a formal way that we're sitting down and reading the Bible. That would be great as well.
Right. Well, just by proximity.
Well, we actually have gone through a book together. But
that is true.
But just by being together and encouraging one another, we are discipling each other in the Lord. You know, if our encouragement is from the Word. And so I really think it's important that we look for those opportunities. How can I invest in other people?
Right.
How can they invest in me?
Yep.
It's friendship, it's mentorship, it's discipleship, it's all of these things. That's where real connection happens.
That's right.
And ask yourself, as Robbie Gallaty said, do you have any 2 a.m. friends?
Yeah.
Do you have any people that if something catastrophic happens in your life at 2 a.m,
you can call them.
Who would you call?
Yeah, that's right.
We need to have 2 a.m. friends, Brian.
I agree.
I'm calling you tonight at 2 a.m.
Tonight? I hope nothing catastrophic happens tonight.
No, I'm just calling you just because.
Oh, okay.
Just to wake you up.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think you're absolutely right about that. And so we just, one thing I would add to that is, you know, men, Do you have an older guy?
Mm.
I'm talking to adults right now. Do you have an older man talking to you about life?
That's good.
Right now? I don't care how old you are and what you've been through.
I would say a godly person that's going to encourage you in godliness. Yeah.
I'm assuming that. But do you have a guy? And if you're like, "No, I don't." Man, look around the church and try to find him.
Right.
Try to find him. Look for him. Do you have a younger guy? Do you know a younger dude that you are just being intentional and just talking to whenever you see him, or maybe texting from time to time? That's one way to do it. And ladies, same thing, same thing. We need older people speaking in our lives, right, and we need to be speaking.
And guys are not like, let's go talk about our feelings. It's like,
right,
let's go shoot
together.
Yeah. It's like, let's go to the range and then we'll get some feelings talk in there somewhere.
Right.
Or let's go work out together and we'll have conversations in that. You know, it's like, guys, we need to be doing something. You know, hey, let's go hunting, you know, or let's do something.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be hunting. It doesn't have to be a manly thing. Could be golf. Yeah. Could be working on a car. Could be whatever.
Yeah.
I
mean, there's also, I don't know. There's dudes.
Guys can do other things. I'm not trying to stereotype. Scrapbooking, no. Knitting, whatever, you know.
Well, playing
board games. I know you're really into knitting.
Playing board games. I mean, there's tons of Christians I know who love playing board games. That's a great way to just get together and talk about life. So we're just talking about practical ways to have relationships.
Right. We've gotten off the rails. So
a little.
No, I'm just kidding.
And so
I think this is all good stuff. And I think if we've encouraged you in any way to real relationships, to back off of social media in unhealthy ways, using it for good, God-honoring ways, we're going to talk more about that as we go along. But if we've encouraged you in that way, that's our goal.
That's our goal. And so we thank you all for listening. We're here for you if you need anything.
Yep, and that's it. We'll see you next time.
See you next time. We should make some bloopers.
You guys want to like, you guys want to like knit some stuff?
You want to go bang our heads against rocks?
You want to light stuff on fire?